This morning to the first chapter of the New Testament book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. I've been looking forward for some time now to beginning a study of the book of Ephesians on Sunday mornings, particularly as it relates to unity. You know, if the book of Ephesians may naturally be a book that we would think of when we speak of unity, particularly when we think of a Christian unity. Our minds maybe naturally go to Ephesians chapter 4. We begin thinking of verse 3 through 6, how we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, knowing that there is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. It's a verse we oftentimes use when talking about unity, but what I hope we begin to see over the next few weeks is that actually unity is very much a theme that is found in every chapter of the book of Ephesians. And it begins here in chapter 1 with the idea that everything is unified in Christ. And particularly, we're going to find that here is a unified place of blessings. That God has predetermined, predestined, that all blessings would indeed be found in Christ Jesus. And as we'll find in chapter 1, and it's true of other chapters of the book of Ephesians, unfortunately, many have taken this great book and used it to try to promote their false theories of how God works and how He has determined man's salvation and many other such things, and we'll examine those as we go through this book. But as we begin, let us go to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll begin by reading verse 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Chapter 1 is a great chapter of praise for everything that God has done. In fact, he begins here in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise, honor, and glory be unto His name." Let us ascribe those things to Him. Let us praise Him for all that He has done. And particularly, Paul is going to be looking through here at the great blessings that we now are able to enjoy in Jesus Christ. And he says, "For that we are thankful unto God." He's going to notice as we go in reverse order, really, of what we've read, a number of things that God has predestinated, that He has predetermined. First and foremost, I'm going to suggest unto you that God has a predestinated purpose. He's going to answer the question, why? As you go there to the end of verse 5 and the beginning of verse 6, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Why has God done these things? There are many questions that simply are not easy to answer. Why did God create the world? Why did He create man? Why has He dealt with man in particular ways throughout the ages? And some of those questions are not easy to answer. Even as we ask the question, why has God done certain things in certain ways? Paul's going to answer at least a part of that question here. Why has God predetermined that all of these blessings are going to be in Jesus Christ? Because it's according to His own good pleasure. According to His own will, His own decision, and the end result of that brings praise and honor and glory unto His name. We ask the question, what did God have to do for us? Absolutely nothing. Did God owe us salvation? Did He owe us the plan that He begins to put into place when man sins in the garden? And even as we come forth into today, does God owe us the opportunity to find forgiveness of sins? No. Not a single one of those things was because God had to do them, but rather He chose to do them according to the good pleasure of His will. It's a mind-boggling thought that here God has done all of these things. He set forth all of these blessings that we're going to find are available in Jesus Christ because He desired to. And what's the end result thereof? The praise and honor and glory of His name. That indeed in all of these things we see His great grace, His mercy manifested in everything that He has done. In fact, we can go back all the way to the beginning of the world when God was creating the world into which He placed Adam and Eve. And He provided for all of their needs and gave them everything that was good. God was already showing His great grace. As you go forward and you begin to see how He unfolds all of His plan of salvation to the leading up of bringing His Son into the world to die for us. All of those things, the theme of the Bible throughout, is unified in this idea of God's grace towards man. So that praise is due unto Him. So that we can see that glory that belongs unto Him. And not only that, that when we follow His will, that it brings honor and glory even unto Him. In a much greater sense even than I believe we could read in Matthew 5 in verse 16. That here we are to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. They see the glory of God in the things that we do. But much more so in the things that God has done, we see the glory of His grace. Why? God had a predestinated purpose. But we could also ask when. And we're going to find that God had a predetermined time, or He predestinated a time. When did God do all these things? When did God decide that these blessings were going to be available unto us in Jesus Christ? And again, He's going to give us the answer in verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Again, try to wrap your minds around that idea. Long before you were born. Long before your parents were born. Long before your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were born. Long before even sin entered into the world. Before the creation of the world, in fact, was even in existence. God had predetermined that these blessings would be in Christ. Before the very foundation of the world, He had planned them. He had settled them. And at least in my mind, that makes it even more amazing to consider the great blessings of God. That God truly cared for His creation even before He created it. Before He placed man onto the face of the earth, that God had in mind all of these spiritual blessings that one day would be brought about through Jesus Christ, His Son. And we began to think of the great words of the psalmist. In Psalm chapter 8, in verse 3 and 4, when he says, "When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him?" The psalmist is crying out in praise unto God, and he thanks Him for all that He has created, and he considers all of His wonderful works. All of these things that we consider magnificent. And then he looks at himself. "I see your great handiwork and I look at myself and I wonder in great amazement, what am I that you consider me?" In the following verses, I believe the psalmist is beginning to look forward to what he knows of God's plan of salvation, of bringing His Son into the world. And he is going to conclude in verse 9, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth." He is full of praise when he considers the blessings that God has bestowed upon man. And he did all of those things before he even placed man upon the face of the earth. That we know, even as we go to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, that we love him because he first loved us. Is it because we loved God that He decided to give us these great blessings? No. Because again, even before we were created, God had predetermined these blessings would be available in His Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, we could go even to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth His love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, the ideas that are reoccurring there is it's not because of some greatness in ourselves that God gave us these blessings. And it's not because we first loved God that He gave us these blessings. But that even before the foundation of the world, even before it was put into place, God had these blessings in mind. And maybe by this time we're asking, what? What is it that we're talking about God had predestinated? What is it that He had predetermined that was going to be available? And the answer is found in verse 3. He had predetermined blessings. What are we talking about? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Again, imagine if you can the great blessings that God has for His people. And now once again, remember that God didn't think of these things when we needed them. He didn't think of these things when we asked for them. He didn't even think of these things just as He went along, but He predetermined them. That He decided all of these spiritual blessings would be possible in Jesus Christ, His Son. That's the what that Paul is considering throughout the first chapter here of the book of Ephesians. That God has given us all of these great spiritual blessings, but what are we talking about, Paul? Well, we know there are physical blessings, Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, that are available unto all people. God sendeth the rain and He sendeth the sunshine, both on the just and the unjust. Those are available to everybody. Everybody that woke up this morning is breathing air is supplied by God. We're partaking of food that was supplied by God. We're living in a world which He created, physical blessings that surround us each and every single day. But there's a certain group of blessings that are only available in a particular place. Only available to a particular people. And those are the spiritual blessings that Paul is talking about here in chapter 1 and verse 3. In fact, I believe we begin to get a little more detail if you'll continue reading through the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And I think we could highlight just a few of the blessings that he's going to talk about as you read through this chapter that are available in Christ Jesus. And we're not talking about all of them. They would be impossible here to list. For one that particularly comes to mind, Paul does not specifically here mention prayer. But what a great blessing that's available in Jesus Christ. So what are some of these blessings maybe that Paul has in mind as he talks about the spiritual blessings? Well, verse 3, all spiritual blessings. We need to recognize and remember that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every great blessing we have is from God. More specifically then, as we continue, drop down to verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. One spiritual blessing that we have, the adoption of being a child of God. Can we imagine that? Probably harder for many of us. I grew up in a home, had maybe at least a father, maybe a mother. But imagine one that grows up now in an orphanage. One that has neither father nor mother. Maybe one that has bounced from foster home to foster home or child care facility to another child care facility, and how he would long to be part of a family. How he would long to be able to call someone father and mother. How he would long to have the stability of knowing that here is someone that loves me. Spiritually, that's what we have in Jesus Christ. That now we can be called the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8 and verse 14. That if we would humble himself unto his will, ourselves unto his will, that if we would follow him, we could be called the sons of God. Here, the great creator of all of the universe that has done all of these things, and he cares enough about us that he would allow us to become his children. Yes, that's a great spiritual blessing that's available in Jesus Christ. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, 1 John 3 and verse 1. What a great love. But you know, that's continued in verse 6. Not only do we have adoption, now also we have acceptance to the praise and glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That God has accepted us. What is, again, something that many humans long for, they crave. Acceptance. Children want to be accepted of their parents. They want their approval. Oftentimes, as we grow up and we become maybe a teenager, we long to be accepted of our peers. Even as we grow older, we like to have the acceptance of others that are around us, some approval. But how much more important now the acceptance of God? No longer separated from Him by sin, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. No longer facing the consequences of sin, which is death, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. But that His justice is satisfied in Jesus Christ. That He would accept me even as His child. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. That Jesus would give us this idea of, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. I will accept you because you've accepted me. That God Himself also has recorded for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7 through 8, or 17 through 18. As God says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Here's God, the great creator of the universe, that He's going to accept me. That again, even willing to call me part of His family. That I have a place in which I belong. Oh, what great spiritual blessings. He continues and he says also, now what about redemption and forgiveness of sins, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Where else can we find that spiritual blessing? That here I have been redeemed, I have been purchased, I have been bought back. That price has been paid for me. That Jesus Christ, God's own Son, would shed His blood to purchase the church, Acts 20, verse 28. That He shed His blood for the remission of my sins, Matthew chapter 26, I believe verse 28. That He loved me enough. That He paid that price for me, that I might be washed from my sins, Acts 22 and verse 16, when I'm obedient unto His will. That here I have the great blessing and promise of hope in this new covenant. The Hebrews writer is discussing the difference now that's found in the Old Covenant that we find in the Old Testament and that which now has been established in Jesus Christ. And of those that would be found in this covenant of Jesus Christ, he says in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." That I can find in Jesus Christ the forgiveness of my sins. Again, that which has separated me from God has been removed. The weight, the guilt thereof has been washed away. That I can have that hope of eternal life with God in heaven. Oh, but what about fellowship? Verse 10. As he says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that is the Christian age, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. One place here, gathered together in Christ. Specifically there, where is he talking about? That even you and I are gathered together in Christ. That we have in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, We have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Fellowship one with another. And the great ideas there that go both vertically as we think about it and horizontally. That here as I'm walking in the light, I have fellowship with God. That's a thought that ought to blow our minds away. It ought to be hard to wrap our thoughts around that. Again, like the psalmist, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? That You long even to have this fellowship with me, and You make it possible. But not only that. Not just the spiritual blessing that I have of being in fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but that I am in fellowship with all of those that are like-minded. That now when I am in Christ, I have a whole new family of brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are in fellowship one with another, that nothing can be matched in the world. Oh, I have associations. I have friendships in the world. But none are as dear and none are as close as the fellowship that I enjoy with the brothers and sisters that I have in Christ. In fact, there are many that I know that are brothers and sisters in Christ, which I consider as having a stronger relationship with them than I do even many of my physical family. Because of that great blessing, again, we have a fellowship even one with another. Oh, he continues. He says, what about our inheritance, or maybe the idea of a heritage, verse 11. In whom, that is Jesus Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance. The American Standard Version here will say, in whom we were made an inheritance, or a heritage. I think largely both expressing the idea, same idea from a different viewpoint. There is a passive verb here that is difficult maybe for us to understand which direction it was going. But one of two things are happening here. Paul is speaking of the inheritance that we have gained in Jesus Christ, the inheritance that we have even of an eternal life with God in heaven, which Peter speaks of, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. That which we long for, that which we are going to gain in that eternal life, even that which we have a claim to right now as Christians in this world. But it's possible also to look at that from the other direction. That here God in us has claimed us as His heritage, as His descendants, as His sons, as His daughters, as those to whom He's going to bestow these blessings upon. That God cares enough for me that He would claim me as His heritage. That He loves me enough that now I can gain this inheritance that is found in Him. He continues, what about salvation, verse 13? In whom also you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You've trusted now in Jesus Christ. You've heard the gospel. You've become obedient unto it. Now you enjoy that salvation. Here you've been baptized into Christ. You have followed God's plan, His will for your life, so that no longer are you looking at the wages of sin, which is death, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, but the free gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, that He made it possible for us to enjoy that salvation. To us to enjoy that eternal life, and all of these are ideas that He set forth in His mind even before He created the world. Oh, He continues. He said also in verse 13 that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the results of which is found in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Here you have been stamped, you have been approved. As we read through chapter 1, we are reminded again that all three members of the Godhead are involved or have a part in our salvation. God the Father that has been the architect, that has overseen this, that has drawn the blueprints. That Jesus Christ that has put this into action, that the Holy Spirit even here as He provides this seal. And not as many as have said as a preservation that the Christian cannot fall. For indeed there are many warnings throughout the New Testament that are going to continue to remind us for the need of the Christian to continue faithfully. But think of a letter. Think of a scroll. upon which the wax has been dripped, upon which that person in authority has taken his ring, his signet ring, and he has stamped it in that hot wax, leaving behind it the impression that says, this is from me. This is authentic. This is what I have set forth. This is another spiritual blessing we enjoy. That Holy Spirit of promise that has placed upon us that stamp, that indeed here is a Christian. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8 and verse 16. That here indeed He is testifying, this is one of ours. This here is a child of God. Even providing, as it were, that down payment, that earnest money, that gives us hope, it gives us assurance, not just of the blessings that we enjoy in this life, not just of the approval under which He provides that we talked about in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, that we are the children of God, but that promise that we have an assurance of that eternal life with God in heaven. That indeed that which has been promised is going to be fulfilled, and we have already received that down payment that we can look forward to the end result. And then also, as He says in verse 18 and 19, that we are enlightened. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Not just that you can know God and His will in some mental state, but here that you know these benefits in the sense of experiencing them. You can know this hope. You can know these promises. The hope of His calling, the richness of His glory, the inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of His power, the working of His mighty power. That you can know all of those things on a very real, a very first-hand knowledge. Jesus Christ Himself said, I am the light, or am come a light into the world. That whosoever believeth on Me should not abide in darkness, John 12 and verse 46. John chapter 1 reminds us, He is the light that shone forth into the world, and the world received Him not. But here He promises. Here He speaks of turning us from that which is dark unto that which is light. He's shown us these things that we need to know for eternal salvation. Even as Peter reminds us, ye are a chosen generation. Ye are a chosen priesthood or a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19 or 9. That indeed you have been enlightened, because we now know God and we now know His benefits. We now know His blessings. Can you look at that list of blessings that Paul speaks of in chapter 1 and along with him say, blessed be the God and Father that has predestinated all of those blessings for us? That has predetermined all of those blessings would be available? And hopefully by that point you're asking, where are they? Because I want to enjoy them. He answers that question as well there in verse 3. Because there is a predestinated place. We go back and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Where, God? Where have you predestinated? What is your predestinated place? Where are these spiritual blessings that you have made possible? That even from the foundation of the world, God predestinated, He predetermined, all of these would be available in Christ, verse 3. In fact, he says, in heavenly places in Christ, the word places there being supplied. The idea may be that which is emanating from heaven. That where Christ now sits on the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Or it may have the sense or idea of that which is preparing us for heaven, as all of these spiritual blessings do. That all of those are available in Christ, in His Son. and not just there. You continue reading through chapter 1, and time again, he's going to remind us, where are these blessings located? He didn't want you to miss them. Verse 3, they are in Christ. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Verse 5, we read, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Verse 6, the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved Jesus Christ himself. Verse 7, in whom, who is that Jesus Christ, the beloved that he spoke of in verse 6? In whom we have redemption through his blood. Who shed his blood? Jesus Christ. Verse 8, wherein? Wherein? This is his grace. Verse 7, that is available. In whom? Verse 7, the beloved. Verse 6, which is Jesus Christ. So even in Christ, chapter 8, or verse 8, he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. He continues, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, again, Jesus Christ. Verse 12 through verse 14, we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That defines that relationship, being in Christ, wherein now we can be sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, wherein we can enjoy that earnest, the down payment of that which is to come. Verse 13, in whom also you trusted. Who is that? In Jesus Christ. And then also in verse 20, in which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Where, Paul? Where did God predestinate that all of these blessings would be? In Jesus Christ. In his Son. I want you to picture, if you will, all of those physical or spiritual blessings as something physical, something you can put your hands on. And it is as if God has said, I am going to put them in a particular place. Maybe in a box. Maybe in a particular state or city or building. That's where they're going to be. And you know what? I'm going to go even further. I'm going to draw you a map, a treasure map, if you will. And I've put all of my treasure in that particular place. I've marked it with an X. I've shown you the landmarks. I've shown you how to get there. They're available to you in Christ. That's where I put them. In fact, he says all spiritual blessings are there. There's not a one that's available anywhere else. And so if we're going to enjoy those spiritual blessings, we're going to go to that location, to that place. And he said they're in Jesus Christ. If we're going to enjoy any of those spiritual blessings he's just talked about in chapter 1, then we're going to have to go to that location. We ourselves are going to have to be in Christ. Because that's where he's determined they would be. And he says in the end of that chapter, in Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, that God hath exalted Jesus Christ, he hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now we know even more. Now, not just are we talking here about being in Christ, but one in the same, we're talking about being in His church, which is His body. Where are these spiritual blessings located? They're located in Jesus Christ. They're located in His body, and they are located in the church. How to get into one answers the question on how we get into all of the others, because they're all the same thing. How did people get into the church? You just have to go to Acts chapter 2. How you read in Acts chapter 2 in verse 38 that Peter responds to those that were asking the question that they were to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. You drop down to verse 41. They that gladly received His word were baptized and they were added unto something. You drop down to verse 47. God was adding them to the church. And when they were obedient unto His will, God put them in the church. We find the same answer is found when we talked about how we get into Christ. One is baptized into Christ. One puts Him on, Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not? And so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. We were baptized into Christ. Something Paul also spells out in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. As many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If I'm in Christ, if I'm in His church, if I'm in His body, I'm in the same spot. And I know from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 that all spiritual blessings were put into that one spot. And so if I'm going to enjoy even a single one of them, then I'm going to have to be in Christ. Well, Paul, who's going to be there? Paul also tells us here, God predestinated people. And unfortunately, many have taken this and decided to teach and preach that God has predestinated individuals. That God decided even before the foundation of the world who was going to be in Christ and who was not. But that is not what Paul tells us. What Paul has already told us is God predestinated a place. He said all of these spiritual blessings are in Christ. And so what has He done? He's predestinated that the recipients of those blessings are those that will be found in Jesus Christ. Now that decision is up to you. That decision is up to me. Am I going to be in Christ? Am I going to be obedient to His will? God didn't decide that for me. I have to determine, am I going to follow His will or not? There was a friend I know a number of years ago that was much too happy with himself, thought a lot of himself, I guess. He liked to ask before something like a football game. He'd say, well, I know exactly who's going to win the game before it even started. He said, I can tell you right now which team's going to win. And he knew the answer was coming. The team with the most points at the end of the game is the one that's going to win. But you know, he was absolutely right. That's what the rule book stated. Who is going to be the winner? The one that has the most points at the end of the game is the one that's declared the winner. Now, did he predestinate? Did he predetermine who is going to win? Only in one sense. That when the rule book was set down, they predetermined who is going to win? The one with the most points. In the same way, God predetermined who was going to enjoy these spiritual blessings, the ones that will be found in My Son, Jesus Christ. The ones that will be in His body. The ones that will be in the church. Who does this us from verse 3 refer to? Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings? Well, we could go back to chapter 1 and verse 1. That Paul is writing to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Using parallelism. It's the same people. The saints and the faithful in Jesus Christ are one and the same. Those that have been obedient and continue to be obedient to Jesus Christ, to God's will. He's speaking to us, verse 4, that are in Him, us that are in Jesus Christ. He's speaking in verse 7, to those that are in Him, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Who? Those that are in Him. Those that have obtained this redemption through His blood. Those we've looked at in verse 10 that are together in Christ. Those are the ones He's predestined. Not the individual, but the group of individuals that would be found in Christ will have all of these spiritual blessings. And even still today, you and I can be a part of that group. You and I can decide, am I going to be in Christ and a recipient of all of those blessings, or am I going to be separated from Him and separated from all of those blessings? The invitation is open. Jesus stands and He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for My yoke is easy. And My burden is light. It's an invitation that's open to all. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 reminds us that we are called by the gospel, a message sent forth into the world to all people. For Jesus told His apostles in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, He said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel invitation was open unto all, and it still is even today. But only some will respond. Will we respond? Will we be faithful that we might be baptized into Christ, having believed in Him, having confessed Him, having repented of our sins, and acted on His will? But then also we ask the question, that invitation is open to all that may have wandered from Him. As we walk in the light, as He is in the light, that's a condition of continuing to follow with Him, 1 John 1 and verse 7. But what if we mess up? And we make mistakes. We get back in Him. If we've fallen short, if we've fallen away from Him, He tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, that we once again can be found faithful in Jesus Christ. That I am the one that's going to determine, will I be in Christ or will I not? God's told us exactly where all these blessings are found. He has unified them in one place that we might find them, that we might be a recipient of them today. But they're optional. He says they're all yours. They're all right here. They're all found in Jesus Christ, my Son, and in His body, the church. Is that where you are today? If not, we're not a recipient of all of those spiritual blessings. Why not, even before we depart this place, will you not decide, I want to enjoy all of those spiritual blessings that are available unto me in Jesus Christ? Respond to that invitation, whether to become a New Testament Christian today or to be restored unto faithfulness to God. We'll help you in any way if you respond, even as together we stand and sing.